It's so deeply personal, anxiety, isn't it?
Oh, it totally is, yes. I'd like to say I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but...
But you'd be lying. So I just fell into this complete state of overwhelm. Like, I just was sat on my bedroom floor in you're crying because I just thought, I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, sorting through which one is the more important or the most important, or have I thought of all the issues to do with that?
Yeah.
Can I just say my arm is so sore from being twisted at my back.
I mean, oh my God, I could do a whole podcast about the things runners talk about.
But then you'd be struck off.
Yes. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Carrie. And hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
So, Nikki, I would quite like to talk about something today that is probably a really common or shared experience for lots of people with ADHD. Well, lots of people generally, but I think specifically people with ADHD. I know it's something that a lot of my clients talk about, and it's anxiety. Mm. And it's the last few weeks having done quite a few things, as we will go on and discuss.
Yeah.
Actually, between us, we've both had quite a lot of anxiety about different things. But it's interesting how you can't predict necessarily what's going to make you anxious and how that's going to manifest. And also that there are some things that will make me really anxious and not you, and vice versa. And it's such a it is so deeply personal, anxiety, isn't it?
Oh, it totally is. Yes. I'd like to say I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but...
But you'd be lying.
So yeah. tell me what is particularly at front of mind for you. Now let me think about this. I wonder what it could be.
So I ran the London Marathon.
You did indeed.
Just over 2 weeks ago.
Excuse me. Hang on. Woo! Not only did you run it.
I didn't win it.
Not only did you run it, but...
Oh, I don't know, but what?
You finished it. You did it.
Oh, I did finish it. Yes, I did finish it. I was still getting over you saying I'd won it. I was like, I was way off. I think the people who won it had finished before I'd started it. So, yes, so I ran the London Marathon. And, oh, my word, the lead up to it was very intense, very, very intense.
Can I just ask, because the lead up, from watching your Facebook posts and everything, the lead up was like a year or something. And so are we talking specifically, I don't know, the last 2 weeks or was it?
Yeah, I think the last 2 weeks because actually, oh, you see, now I'm going to overthink that I post too much about running.
Not at all.
But I think I did post when I got a place, which was probably in about, October, November last year.
So it was about more like 6 months.
Yeah. And then I think I started in earnest the training at the beginning of January, which obviously and you train through the winter. And then I think I'd posted from time to time just when we'd done chat, because you have to do a lot of fundraising. Obviously, I had a charity place. So you have to fundraise. So, I probably then said, oh, I'm doing this fundraiser and things. So, yeah, it felt like 6 months, I would say, good run up.
Yeah. Can I just say my arm is so sore from being twisted at my back? No, not at all. You're very lovely. And pictures of you running in the winter, in the freezing cold, when I'm sitting nice and warm in my house and snug on a Sunday morning, and you've been up since five doing some hideous thing in the snow and the rain and the sleet. So yes, good. Yeah. I was very happy to contribute.
Oh, thank you.
As were all your friends.
Yes. Well, people were very generous. And I think what makes a difference as well is that I'm part of a running club. So there's a whole group of us who are training for marathons, and we all meet up every Sunday in the snow and the rain and the heat.
Buddies.
My buddies, my running buddies.
Yeah. ADHD buddies. It always makes things easier when you've got a buddy.
100%. Because there is you know, there's that accountability. And if you say, yes, I'll meet you all at such and such a time, you kind of have to turn up. And so, yeah, that makes a difference.
Sorry, I do need to interject again. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting a lot uncharacteristically.
That's all right.
No, I just wanted to say it doesn't make things easier, I would imagine, when it comes to marathon. It makes it less difficult.
Do you know, it does make it easier because it helps pass the time.
Yeah.
If you're not on your own, and I mean, oh my God, I could do a whole podcast about the things runners talk about.
But then you'd be struck off.
Yes. So yeah, the run up and everything else. I think I felt quite, yeah, all right to do it. I had done two marathons. I'd done an ultra marathon before. So I knew that there's that knowledge you can do something, which is always really useful, that, you know, evidence. I have done this before, therefore I know I can do it, which was different when I did my first one. But there's an enormity about London. You know, it's a major, it's one of a sort of world series of six marathons that you can do. The sheer volume of people doing it, it actually did break the world record for the largest number of people ever running a marathon. So it was like just under 60,000 or something. But also the fact that, you know, it's just quite iconic, and people were like, oh my God, you're running London, and which is kind of why I wanted to do it, because of the experience. But in the weeks lead up to it, I made, you know, you get all these emails from London Marathon going 3 weeks to go and 2 weeks to go and 1 week, 6 days to go, and all of this is a real countdown to it. And you know, there's an app that has a countdown to it. And there was a Facebook group set up of people running it. And of course, then people start putting in it all the things that they are worried about. Does anybody know about this? I'm really worrying about this. And I was at the point when I was like, oh my God, now I've got just more things to worry about. Because without wanting to bore everyone stupid about marathon running, the physical running bit is actually the most straightforward. I won't use the word easiest, because you know, you have to train to be able to run that distance. But for me, that's not really a problem. That's just, you get out there and you build up the stamina. It's like anything. You just get better at doing it for longer. You know, I'm not a really super speedy runner or anything like that. I'm not trying to be elite time. So it's just making sure you're strong. But then in the lead up to it, you worry about, because if you know those times when you walk past a kitchen chair or table and you catch your little toe and you bend it backwards, and you, right, that would almost put you out of running it. Or I take my dog for a walk and my dog loves running around with great big sticks and legs it past you with a big stick in its mouth and takes your legs out. Or you trip over in the woods or anything like that. So you become a bit of a, I think I became a bit of a princess about my legs. Not the legs, not the legs.
I'm sure they're worthy of being princess-like about.
Yes. Yeah, you just don't want anything to happen. So there's a sort of slight nerves about that. But the physical running bit is the most straightforward part. What is hard to is things like, you've got to think of your nutrition, and you have to practice your nutrition, because when you're running long distances, it's very easy to get tummy upsets and things like that. And the sort of sugary gels and things you take on, they don't all agree with you. So you've got to make sure you've got the right what, and you've got to think about how you're going to carry it all. You know, are you going to wear it on a vest, or are you going to wear it in pockets, and how much do you need? So there's a lot of sort of logistics. And that's the bit that I was finding really stressful. You know, what do I need to bring? And then, of course, in the week leading up to it, everybody was watching the temperature predictions going up and up and up and up. And it was obviously going to be a hot day. And it started off as sort of being 18 and some cloud. And it ended up being, on the day, it was 23 degrees and full sun. And there's not a lot of shade when you're running it. Yes.
Can I just say that when you and I were talking about this in the week before, and they always start saying, oh, it's going to be 20 degrees. And I say to Lib, my wife, I just say, oh, so that means it's going to be 25. And when they say it's 25, I say, oh God, it's going to be 30. And sure enough, and you get there, it is. So I understand exactly what you're saying. And what you said to me was, yes, it may say 23, But it's not 23 when you're actually in the full sun.
Yes.
So anybody thinking, oh, 23 is not hot. I went outside that day and you didn't start till 11, did you? So it was...
No.
You were out there in the heat of the day.
Yeah.
It was blooming hot out there.
It was.
On tarmac and stuff. It was really hot.
Yes. And that's the other thing. When you're on tarmac, it's warm and you've got crowds around you sort of trapping it in.
Lots of radiators, known as people. Yes.
And you've got loads of people, very sweaty people, very near you. So I think all the logistics of it, and I had my list and you've got to, you know, I had to leave the house at 5:30 in the morning. So you've got your bag of things, the stuff that you're wearing, but stuff you're going to chuck because you don't want it. Stuff you've got to put in your bag for afterwards that you will need after the race, like any nutrition. Or I have like a Pilates spiky ball that's really good to just sort of roll around on, and it's good for stretching out muscles and things. I thought, I really want to take that. But then, you know, what are you going to carry with you? And you need to make sure, do I need some paracetamol? Do I need some plasters? Do I need electrolytes plus any fuel that you're going to take? Do I want wet wipes? Because if you're put, you know, gels get sticky, or, you know, am I going to have to carry sun cream? Gosh, I better buy myself a visor to wear because I don't normally run with a visor. I don't like hats, but actually if the sun's going to be in my face all that time, and all of these things just make it more complicated. And then you go on a Facebook group and somebody's going, oh, I don't know, they're worrying about something else completely. And you're like, oh my God, now I need to worry about that. I hadn't even thought about that.
Sounds like you've got to worry about the weight of the trailer that you're going to be pulling behind you as well.
Well, exactly. So it's, and that's the thing. How much water do I carry? There's water stations. Do I need, you know, so there's a lot of decision making and logistics. And I found that bit just quite stressful. And then you add into it, you know, I'm in a couple of WhatsApp groups with runners and everyone's ramping it up and was like, oh my God, yeah, London, it's so exciting. It's so amazing. What an amazing, have a great day. You know, the messages were starting on the day of the run at like 5 in the morning. Everyone's up, yeah. And yeah, it's a lot to take on. But I was managing and I had my, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I was like, right, I need to write a list of everything so that I can just have it planned out and keep adding to this list. But then the day before, the Saturday, I foolishly hadn't planned enough to do. And I was at a bit of a loose end. I just need to pack my bag up when I've written a list. And so I just fell into this complete state of overwhelm. Like I just was sat on my bedroom floor in you're crying because I just thought, I don't know if I can do this. It was just too much. Mm. So it felt like anxiety, but it was almost overwhelm. Mm. I think I was there. I was there was so much to think about. I just couldn't process anything at all. I just couldn't think straight or anything at all.
It sounds like the anxiety came from the overwhelm.
I don't know. It's chicken and egg.
Mm.
I don't know. Was I anxious because I was overwhelmed, or was I overwhelmed because of the anxiety? It just became so massive, the whole event of it all. Yes, probably that way around, that I felt overwhelmed and then I felt anxious because I felt I couldn't do it. And up until that point, anyone who'd said to me, how are you feeling about the marathon? I said, great. I'm really excited about it. I've done all the training. I'm really physically feeling strong. I know I can do it. Now, partially because I had, you know, that wasn't untrue, but I also deliberately chose to say that because my brain would keep hearing me say that aloud. Whereas if you say out loud, actually, I'm really nervous and I don't know if I can do it, that's not good for your brain. And I know enough to know that. The day before, I was, as you know, in pieces about it. So we, you know, you very kindly offered to have a chat. So we had a session and you let me just sort of verbalize externally everything that was going on and my plan. And you see, gosh, I'm feeling emotional just talking about that conversation.
was your preparation that we focused on, and everything you had done, and the fact that you'd done every single thing you could have done. And I think the key question was, what else could you have done?
Yes, which came back to nothing.
Nothing.
There was nothing.
And we had a laugh about that because it was...
Yes. Literally, there was nothing else I could have done.
You'd done everything.
Yeah. And I think the thing that turned the corner for me, again, things that you know, and then somebody says it to you in the right context and you go, oh, God, yeah, of course.
Yes.
I said to you about how I'd been listening to the Paula Radcliffe podcast, and she'd had the guy from The Chimp Paradox on, whose name is...
Stephen Peters. Prof. Steve Peters.
Yes, he was brilliant, and he'd done a fantastic episode of her podcast. And you reminded me about him and the chimp, and you basically said to me, your chimp is just running wild.
Running, screaming around the trees.
Absolutely. And that's all it is. It's not rational. It's just your chimp.
Trying to protect you.
Yes, trying to protect you.
And failing badly.
Completely failing.
As the chimp so often does.
Yes. And it made me remember that bit, which is to say to myself, and you see, I tap my chest. I'm doing it now, so apologies if this is picked up on my... But there's a sort of grounding element to it as well with me. Mm. But tapping my chest and saying, you're not going to die. And that sounds very dramatic, but it is obviously what my chimp needs to hear. My chimp obviously really thinks I'm going to die if I go on long runs. And I've struggled with this a lot. I've had a lot of running anxiety about going on runs, which is then ridiculous because I'm a bloody runner. But
but at one point you weren't.
No, correct.
And the chimp's remembering that, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where my chimp has got this. But when I said to myself, you're not going... And you see, I immediately start tapping my chest again. You're not going to die. And I can feel something in me like drop into place and go, oh yeah, oh yeah, you're not going to die.
And that's marvelous. And I saw that happen, and it was wonderful. Can I interject?
Yes, of course.
Okay. You said, I don't know where my chimp's got this from. I'm just running.
Mm.
Why do we run?
Well, oh yeah.
Evolutionary. Why do we run? Often it's to run away from something.
Literally, it's fight or flight. It's flight.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's a threat.
Yeah.
So your chimp isn't as daft as it looks.
Oh.
As I understand it from said Prof. Peters, he said, she said as if she knows him really well. Yeah, we're like that. No, he says basically that the chimp has two major roles. They are to help you, to ensure you survive. And you procreate.
Yes, right.
Now, generally, you don't run away when you're procreating.
No.
But to survive, very often, the best thing to do is to run away.
Yeah.
So if you're running...
Yes.
What's that telling your chimp?
There's a danger. There's a threat.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a bit like if you're doing a long walk and not eating very much. Your body is very old, historically, and it doesn't realise it's a 21st century and cars and motorways and everything else. It thinks, if I'm walking a long distance and I'm not eating very much, that must mean there's a famine. I better conserve fat. So when we're dieting and things or looking after our health, we have to bear that in mind.
Mm.
So your chimp is doing its job. It's just, as we said, they're there, chimpy.
Mm.
Have a banana, go and sit on a branch and calm down a bit and just look at the view and have a bit of a scratch.
Yes. And I think the thing is, it's that switching that into action. Theoretically, I know that, you know, I know the psychology, I know how my brain works, I know about fight and flight and all the rest of it. But in that moment, you forget all of those things because your chimp's shouting too loudly and you're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But for me to be able to see the impact of telling myself I wasn't going to die, which started off as a bit of a joke. I mean, I was sort of joking, going, you know, it's not like I'm going to die or anything. And I sort of like, my chimp just needs to know, it's all right, it's all right, you're not going to die. And in saying that, I could feel myself coming out of that stress. My body was holding all of that.
Mm.
And it started to let it go.
Yeah.
So I was able to maintain that for the rest of the day and going to bed. And I slept really well.
Yeah.
you know, everybody else was like, God, I haven't slept. I was tired. I slept really well. I got up the next morning. I felt excited. You know, don't get me wrong. I didn't not feel anything, but it was definitely excitement. Mm. And I was really ready to just get on with it then. I didn't feel my chimp was out.
Sounds like your chimp had had a whole bunch of bananas.
Yes. Yeah. And just gone, okay, yes, thank you. I'll just...
I was half asleep on a branch somewhere, lolling about. Marvellous. Yes. That's what we
yeah.
want.
Yeah, having a little scratch and, you know, chilling. I think that's why I wanted to share it, because anxiety is such a big thing for so many people. And knowing that, of course, there's anxiety about things that are normal. You know, one of my sons is doing his GCSEs at the moment. And there's, although I say that, he's not anxious at all. He can care less. But, you know, exams and things like that, there's a natural anxiety about doing something. But it's when it just totally gets out of proportion and that hysteria, that overwhelm feeling is there. That is your chimp just going crazy. And you need to sort of have a firm word with it.
Yeah.
And that can and does work.
Or a gentle word and an arm around chimpy.
Yes.
One of my clients makes t-shirts and she was going to make ones with a chimp with a banana, just saying, it's okay, chimpy, have a banana. And that was what it was going to say.
Yes.
Just to pick up on what you said, I was wondering when you were talking about the chimp being triggered, and I'm very glad that our session helped, but it's no more than I need to myself, as you know, because you do need somebody to help you co-regulate, basically.
Yes, definitely.
Exactly that. And especially as ADHDers, we are prey to being wired at the best of times. And so when something triggers us, we go into freefall, potentially. Mm-hmm. And it's finding a way to sort of climb out of that hole of despond or despair or anxiety that is so helpful. And somebody being there with you. I mean, sometimes I just need a hug, literally.
Yes.
You know, a long hug, gently, for, I don't know, 2 minutes. Mm. And the oxytocin starts going and all the chemicals start flowing. But it's that sense of security and safety. And I can relax. It's okay. It's fine. And I think that, if you like, that helps the metaphorical chimp to relax as well.
Yes.
And when you were talking, I was having huge parallels with our trip to Sweden recently.
Yeah.
And which you so brilliantly organised. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I was, it's my packing. I can hardly bring myself to say the word because of all this stuff I have to take with me. I mean,
yeah.
I think you started packing about 9 o'clock in the evening or something.
The night before, yes. Literally, yeah. I did.
I made a joke on WhatsApp to somebody on the group and just said, I started packing in March, and this was the end of April. And it's not that much of an exaggeration.
Yeah.
I did start packing about 2 weeks before, something like that, just gathering supplements together and trying to decide which ones didn't look too dodgy to take, you know, white powders to take through customs and everything else. They're not dodgy, but they look dodgy.
Yes.
And having to take photos of all the packaging and all this kind of thing in case I am stopped. And oh my God, it's just a nightmare. So I was thinking about, what is it that is so driving my anxiety in these circumstances? And I think I wondered if it was the same for you when you were talking about all the things you've got to take with you and where to put them and how to carry them and joked about the trailer. It triggered a thought in me about what you've said on here publicly about arranging things, and you're really concerned that you'll have forgotten something or got something wrong. And you never do. You're always brilliant. But I think one of the reasons we don't get things wrong very often like that is because we're so worried about forgetting something.
Yes.
And that's the thing with the supplements, because some of them, if I forgot one, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Other ones, they're critical. And obviously my prescription drugs that I have to take, they are, you know, the steroids and things. If I forget those, I'm really in trouble. So I have to go through everything and make lists and then remember the things that haven't gone on the list. And that's why I start early, because it gives time for my ADHD mind to remember, for things to float up.
So do you trust yourself, or is that what it comes from? This sort of, I'm not 100% sure I trust myself.
Because my mind works the way it does, bless it. I love my mind. I'm always saying thank you, mind, because it comes up with all sorts of exciting, interesting things. One thing it's not brilliant at is looking at a subject and being incredibly thorough and coming up with all the possibilities. It's not good at that. And when you've got as many possibilities as you had for your
yeah
and decisions to make, I don't have trouble making decisions at all. but I don't always think I've got all the information because it hasn't occurred to me yet.
Yeah.
And that's why I start early. So I've, like you with the marathon, I've brought in lots of ways of dealing with the situation. But unfortunately, as I get older and I get even more collections on my health issues, it's just the way it is. They will stem from the same thing, basically, but then other things appear. Then that means that I've got more things that I have to think about and I can't take everything. So then I have to sort of do this sorting thing. And that isn't always great for ADHDers. Many ADHDers find that really troubling. Oh, God, I don't know where to start. And figuring out the hierarchy and, oh, I need to take everything. I can't take everything. What do I do? Oh, God. It's a bit like looking at a big menu.
Yeah.
As we say,
I've written down the words. Sorry, Nikki.
No, no, go.
Nikki, I've written down the words. Too many options.
Yes.
Exclamation mark.
Yeah, and you know, we joke about too many tabs open. Well, it's
so hard.
Too many options. And we think about, as a rule, not everybody's the same, but the ADHD mind tends to think things are all the same. So they're on a, I'm helpfully showing you horizontally here. So there's a horizontal plane going across the screen here. Instead of it being like things in an upward hierarchy, they're all the same. So if there's a menu of 25 items, well, unless in my case, I can't have them all now. So that's great. So it makes it easier because of the gluten-free and so on. But if you like all of them, you want all of them. And it's like, oh, God, which one do I want? Mm. And I was always, when I could eat what I wanted, I was always the last one to make up my mind. Mm. And sometimes I'd just wait till the waiter came up and then just pick something at random because just trying to sort them through and put them into some sort of hierarchy. Now, I'm lucky as an ADHDer. I can plan ahead. I can see the goal and I can figure out the steps to get to it. And some of that may be my mum's training or whatever. And I'm really grateful for that. But I know a lot of ADHDers have trouble with that. That's not my particular issue so much. I have others. But one of my others is this, sorting through which one is the more important or the most important, or have I thought of all the issues to do with that?
Yeah.
Does it matter? I mean, sometimes in major decisions in life, I go with my gut. I think my brain has to agree. But if it's a dead heat between the brain and the gut wins because I've learned it works. Yeah. But the smaller decisions, like do I take this supplement with me on holiday and do I have to put that in my hand luggage? My life has changed, by the way.
Oh, yes, it has, hasn't
it? Oh, my God. I can't believe it. We get to Gatwick and they say, no, you don't need your plastic bag with your liquids in it of 100 mil. What? What do you mean? I spent the last 2 weeks figuring out how to do this. And I don't... But coming home, it was tricky. But it didn't matter on the way home because it doesn't matter if I don't get them home.
Yes.
I can always get more. I need them when I'm there. Yeah. So to anybody who didn't know, if you're living in the UK and you're near a major airport, I don't know about other ones, but one would imagine Heathrow and Gatwick. Oh, my God. So anyway, that's a minor thing.
No, I was just saying, I think it's interesting what you were talking about options and choices. And I think you're right. It's the... In those big decisions in life, I can be actually quite impulsively decisive about things. And I think I can make a decision and go, yeah, sod it. Let's just do this. Let's do that. Which other people can really struggle and they like to really decide and plan. But I also think if I'm trying to buy something and I might look online, I'm not going to look at more than two or three things at the most and read the reviews on them and then make a decision because I can't filter any further than that.
Yeah.
I can choose between two or three things, but I can't choose between lots and lots and lots of things.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I find shopping sometimes very overwhelming because I get to a point where I'm just, no, there's just too much here. I can't filter. I think that's what you were saying about that horizontal. I can't filter. But I also think there's something about our thought process in as much as, I don't know whether you think it, I don't necessarily know what I think or what I'm going to say until it comes out of my mouth. So when I try and think about something, there's like white noise. So like I find that when I'm with the client, even I'm listening to them and a word or a question or a phrase might pop in my head and I write that down and then I go with that. But if I actually thought to myself, oh, think of a good question, I couldn't. I literally, there is nothing in my head if I try and think of something.
Yes, but you're trying to think of it.
Yes.
You're not actually relaxed and thinking.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
My thoughts come very naturally, but if I try to think something through, I can't. So I think that may, I don't know, possibly with our situations and that having to decide, there was an element of there are just too many options. I've got too many permutations of water bottles, gels, cubes, cereal bars or whatever, hot and cold weather options, etc. But also at that point when you've got to make a decision and you need to think, it's like radio silence.
Yeah, yeah. It's trying to think.
Yes.
Oh, so this is exactly why I started 3 years ago for my packing. No, I started, I'd say, about 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
And I'm pottering about. And it's almost like, you know, my 10-minute con where I can do 10 minutes of anything. Mm. And I know full well that I'm going to carry on once I've started.
Yeah.
But I'm smiling at myself, but it's the 10 minute. So my pottering about is to persuade myself that I'm really relaxed about this.
Mm.
Because I've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that unlikely thing for an ADHD, which is starting early. And it'll be fine. And, oh, look, I'm just listening to the radio or the whatever I'm listening to, a podcast or something, while I'm doing this. And we have plenty of time, Nikki, and we don't have to. Because that is fooling myself that I'm relaxed about it.
Yeah.
And therefore, I can think. I don't hit that buffer you were just talking about.
Mm.
Until the last day. And I was so packed. I was packed. Completely calmly. I was doing so well, but it's the last little things that you can't do, or I can't do, until pretty much the night before or the morning.
Mm.
You know, the pills I need to take in the morning. You're going to clean your teeth, so you need your toothbrush, whatever it is. They need to be done at the last minute. So I've done everything else. I even put a video on our group saying, oh, look, this is all my packing done. Oh, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're not going till the morning. How amazing. And then I was still rushing around at the last minute. Not as much as I would have done in years gone by, because I have learned.
Mm.
But I've still got that tension going on in case I've forgotten something. I think that's what the key is. It's that in case, have I forgotten something? Logistical stuff you were talking about. And to be fair, you know, you were saying about you catching your toe.
Mm.
You're worried about hurting yourself, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, if you remember, I'm sure you do, for a week before we went away, I lost my voice again because I had a bug. Other people had the same bug, had croaky voices. And this is a European Barbershop Championships that we've been working towards for a long time, put loads of work into, and suddenly it looked like I might not be able to sing.
Mm.
The doctor said, it's incredibly inflamed, I quote. And I thought, oh, it's not me being a wuss. It's not that I'm a wuss, but, you know, there's that voice.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if I do about this? I'll just have... And I had to be pretty much silent. In a situation where it's really hard to be silent because everybody's together. There's 38 women together who get on really well, all chatting. And I had to sit there mutely and it was just horrible.
Yeah.
But the only chance I had of singing at the last minute, because our director said, even if you just get on stage and sing, don't worry about any of the warm-ups, don't worry about the rehearsals, just mime. And that's what I did. I did a little bit of gentle singing just beforehand. And I thought, oh, I might manage. The upper notes were okay. The lower ones were a bit iffy. So I swore to myself I wouldn't sing the low notes, but I did.
Yeah.
So I did like a 50% version of me, but at least I contributed and I was there. You know?
Yes.
And so that was I was very proud of myself for doing that because it
Good.
Was quite hard. But there was that anxiety as well of, will I be able to perform?
Yeah.
Will this all be a complete waste of time? Because you can perform, you can be actually a presence on the stage. And I got there, so that was great. It wasn't like I broke my leg or something. Although, to be fair, if I broke my leg, I'd probably still be there. But it was that mixture of anxiety about forgetting something and anxiety about whether I'd be able to do the thing. And that was pretty much what you were saying about yours.
And I was thinking as well, when you were saying it, it's interesting, those parallels that we both had. You know, I had my ongoing list that I built up, like you say, over the couple of weeks. I was like, oh, I just kept adding to it when I felt relaxed. So I knew I had everything. I knew I had everything covered. But then that just before, you doubt it all. And I wondered whether there's an element of, which again, very much links to the ADHD piece of shame. And it's that fear of getting things wrong. To be honest, if I'd got anything wrong at the marathon, the only person that it would have affected was me. There wouldn't, you know, nobody's going to be interested enough to go, oh, you packed the wrong stuff or anything else. But it harks back to those feelings of old, of, oh God, I've messed up again. I've got this wrong. I've done the, you know, I have turned up at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong stuff and, or forgotten things or whatever, you know.
Gone to the cinema on the wrong day, which I did with Liv not that long ago.
Oh, I often still book, we laugh now, we turn up when I book dinner somewhere and they're like, oh no, we haven't got a record. And I don't get hoity-toity because I know that there's a risk. I'm like, oh, I'm sure I booked it. And
don't you know who I am? I booked in.
Get my booking out. And they're like, that's tomorrow or that's next month or whatever. Yeah. And I do that a lot. Yeah, it's that, oh gosh, I'm going to mess up. And although as an adult, people are very unlikely to laugh at you or ridicule you, that doesn't change how we feel.
Yeah, it's an echo from the past, isn't it?
It's the echo.
Rationally, it's not relevant here.
Correct.
But back to our chimp doesn't care whether it's relevant or not.
No.
It's got a program, or in Prof. Peter's thing, it's the chimp, the human, and the computer between them. And they both input into the computer. And if there's a ready program, either of them can pull out the program at any time from the computer.
Right.
So the chimp says, threat. It goes to the computer. The computer says, oh, yes, I've got a program for that. Do you want to run it? And the chimp says, yes. So off it runs. And we do this knee-jerk response.
Yes.
With a bit of luck, the chimp says, oh, no, it's fine. I'm going to have a banana. And passes it over to the human, who says, oh, no, that's not relevant here. This is all happening in milliseconds, as you know. But the human often, as in the adult or the brain, frontal cortex, doesn't get a look in very often. And the chimp is just having his own little party in the foreground while the human's in the background going, hello, this isn't relevant.
Absolutely. And we don't always notice.
Yes.
I mean, I think maybe that's the thing. We don't always notice when the chimp's out.
No.
Because it doesn't sort of jump out with a ta-da.
No.
It starts its little jiggering and then it sort of gets bigger and bigger. And suddenly it's only at the point where it's leaping around screaming and we're going, oh, my God. And then if you've got the wherewithal at that point to go, hang on a minute, I know what this is.
Yeah.
This is the chimp
yeah.
or whatever. But it's hard because it does trigger into so many other things.
Yeah.
Like we said about shame and, oh God, I'm going to mess this up again.
Yeah. When you're overwhelmed, the psychological term is flooded.
Yes.
So your whole limbic system is flooded.
Yes.
And it feels like you're under a deluge of
Yes.
And you can't use your frontal cortex very well at all, if at all, when you're in that state.
No.
And that's the point. And that's why our good old friend, I'm thinking of the capital P, pause again.
Yes.
It's to stop. And that's what you did that morning when we got together.
Yeah.
Was to stop. And I just left you talking for about 20 minutes about everything you'd done. And I was making notes so I could read it back to you. And so I did that. And you went, oh, yeah. And the question, as I said, the question was, what else could you have done?
Mm.
And that's when we had a bit of a laugh, which is always good.
Mm.
And I said the same to myself when I was doing the packing. And it was lovely to finish early, apart from the last bit. And I knew I'd done everything. And I had a list of the things for the evening or the morning.
Yeah.
So I knew I'd done everything. But the chimp was still trying really hard.
Mm.
Really hard. And then poor Lib said something to me. I can't remember what it was. And it just triggered me. I said, don't say that. It wasn't like, are you sure you've got everything? But it was something that triggered that sort of thought.
Mm.
And I could feel my stomach turning. Oh, no, I think she just told me how long it was till we were going. And I knew that. But it was like, suddenly I went, because I'm going into those old chimp triggered things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't relevant.
And there's different, there's different chimps, because then it's like the chimp, or maybe it's just different manifestations of the same chimp. I don't know.
It's a whole family in there.
Yeah, bear with me on this. I'm sort of thinking, but it's like a different manifestation of it, because you've got the one chimp that's like having to make decisions and the threat itself, like I'm going to die on this run. But the chimp that's leaping around towards the end is, you know that you will have fucked up. You do know that. And that chimp, oh, it's a hard one to get rid of, because lots of evidence can be there of, yes, but I don't do that all the time. But there is still the odd time when we do, and we do forget things. And the chimp then is like, I told you so.
Told you so.
I told you, you never listen to me.
Now, is that a chimp? That's the question. I'm not sure that's a chimp. I think that's an inner critic.
Is it? That's, I don't know. Is it a chimp? Is it?
I think that's the inner critic in full flow.
Right.
Do you know, I think maybe we should talk about this next time, because I was listening to, oh God, which podcast was it? One of the podcasts I listen to regularly. Oh, I think it was Mel Robbins, possibly. Anyway, whoever it was, she said in an ADHD way, they were talking about the inner voice.
Mm.
And it was fascinating. And I'd love to talk about that next time.
Mm.
Because there's a whole interesting thing that we can explore and maybe pass on a few things from there. I will find out exactly where it was so that I can reference it. But it was fascinating about the inner voice and the different forms it takes.
Yeah, that would be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, and I think it's relevant to what you just said. So
yeah. And to round off, had you forgotten anything in Sweden?
Do you know what? On this occasion, considering we were in a two-centre place, Sweden and Copenhagen, Copenhagen, as I now know, I don't think I did.
Brilliant.
And I had everything I needed and I didn't really have anything I didn't need. So, yay!
Well done, you.
And how about you on the marathon?
No, I had everything I needed.
So our chimps are actually helping us up to a point, as long as we stand them down once they've done their job, because they prompt us to do these.
Yeah. And so you successfully went to Sweden and Denmark and we did our thing and I ran the London Marathon.
Yes.
And nobody died.
Nobody died. Shall we turn that into a positive? We thrived.
All survived.
We survived and thrived.
We did survive and thrive. Oh, I don't know if I can say I thrived. That is a stretch. I didn't thrive. I survived.
You survived.
It was very hot. I survived.
Yeah, well, I think anybody looking at somebody doing a marathon, especially the London Marathon on a hot day, survival is thriving as for sight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, it's quite funny. We don't need to put this bit in, but I'd said to Ben, when you come up and watch, honestly, it is so inspiring watching people run the London Marathon, because I've watched it before. And I said, you will just be so inspired. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you come away and you think, well, I might take up running. And I said to him afterwards, was it inspiring? And he said, it was the least inspiring thing I've ever seen. He said it was like watching people being carried out of a war zone. He said there were people like collapsing, fainting, vomiting. You know, he said nobody looked like they were having a good time.
Oh, but how many of them finished?
Most of them.
Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah, you see, I think so.
You and I think it's inspiring.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I will leave that in.
Yeah. But it didn't win him over at all, but never mind. So
they are, Ben. We disagree. Well, we all have our points of view.
Exactly.
I think completing it was utterly inspiring. So, yay.
Yes. Ah, thank you very much. Thank you.
And so, one for me for getting my packing right.
Yes. Woohoo.
We'll see you all soonish.
Brilliant. Take care. See you, Nikki.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at the ADHD Connection _podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.